It was very unlikely that anything could escape from such a place.
Those words might upset quite a few COVID-19 theorists. It's Wednesday, February 10th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Remember, you can find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, there are questions surrounding the transparency of the Wuhan investigation. Myanmar's military cracks down on protest. Australia fights back against Chinese charges against one of its journalists. Hong Kong's top court denies bail to a media tycoon and Beijing critic. That and more on today's VOA Asia. A World Health Organization team has concluded the coronavirus is unlikely to have leaked from a Chinese lab as the group wrapped up a visit to explore the origins of the virus. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
The Wuhan Institute of Virology in central China has collected extensive virus samples, leading to allegations that it may have caused the original outbreak by leaking the virus into the surrounding community. Now WHO's food safety and animal diseases expert Peter Ben Mbarak discounts the theory.
It was very unlikely that anything could escape from such a place. And we also know that when lab accidents happen, they are, of course, extremely rare.
China has rejected that possibility and has promoted other theories for the virus's origins. WHO is exploring a scenario that is more likely to have jumped to humans from an animal. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A member of the WHO expert mission team investigating the origin of the coronavirus in Wuhan, Thea Colson-Fisher, said her research during the mission had relied on data that had been analyzed and presented by Chinese experts.
If I was to completely answer that question, I would say I could confirm that if I had the raw data in my hands. With the current situation, that has not been the case. I would have to rely on the huge amount of data that has been analyzed and presented to me, but I've not had the raw data, as would be the case in most other countries in the world.
As for her thoughts on the joint mission's conclusion that the lab leak was unlikely, Colson-Fisher only said this was a result of a 28-day investigation, but that continuous investigation cannot be excluded. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Two U.S. air carrier groups conducted joint exercises in the South China Sea Tuesday, days after a U.S. warship sailed near the Chinese-controlled islands in the waters. China's restaurants and hotels eye a gloomy Lunar New Year as virus worries reignite. Volkswagen explores flying cars in China. Indian police arrest a man suspected of leading a violent farm protest. The number of newborns in China drops 15% in 2020 during the pandemic. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. Police in Myanmar's capital, Naypyidaw, fired gunshots into the air on Tuesday to disperse demonstrations against the ruling military. That according to witnesses, as protesters defied bans on gatherings amid nationwide outrage at last week's coup. Libby Hogan reports.
Protesters in Myanmar filled the streets on Tuesday, despite a military ban on gatherings, curfews, and closed roads. It was the fourth day of protests against last week's military coup. In the capital, Naypyidaw, police fired gunshots in the air to disperse the crowd, witnesses said. Media later reported police fired rubber bullets, and a doctor said at least three were hurt. Earlier, they had used a water cannon for the second day in a row on protesters. There were also more than two dozen arrests in the second largest city, Mandalay, by the afternoon, including one journalist, according to local media reports. In the largest city, Yangon, people clapped and held a three-finger salute of resistance only metres away from police barricades. Locals said bridges connecting to central Yangon were shut early, reviving memories of what life was like under half a century of military rule that lasted until 2015. In the crowd, Kin Monso said the protests were a fight for their future.
Before the military coup, every day was a fresh morning in our country, motivated and livable. After the coup, it's turned into a mess.
Last night, Senior General Min Aung Hlaing, now leader of the military junta, spoke on state TV for the first time since they seized control. He focused on justifying their takeover on the grounds of election fraud, claims that have been rejected by the Election Commission. He said they would form a, quote, true and disciplined democracy, different to previous eras of military rule. He added that any lawless wrongdoers should be prevented or removed. The military has promised a new vote, but given no time frame, only that a state of emergency will last for 1 year.
That was Reuters correspondent Libby Hogan. Meanwhile, Britain's envoy said on Monday that it had submitted a request for a special session of the UN Human Rights Council to address the crisis in Myanmar, where the military seized power a week ago. Emma McCarthy reports.
Britain's envoy said on Monday it had submitted a request for a special session of the UN Human Rights Council to address the crisis in Myanmar, where the military seized power a week ago. Myanmar's new military leader said on Monday the ruling junta would hold a fresh election and hand power to the winner, saying that campaigning in a vote last November had not been fair. Police warned protesters to disperse or face force to stifle the demonstrations against the coup. Ambassador Julian Braithwaite told an organisational meeting of the Geneva Forum that it was making the request together with the European Union.
Madam President, we must respond to the calls of the United Nations Secretary General, who has condemned the actions of the Myanmar military and called on its leadership to listen to the will of the people and to refrain from violence and to fully respect human rights and fundamental freedoms. We must react to the calls of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, who has expressed her grave concern about the removal of the civilian government and the arbitrary detention of dozens of political leaders, human rights defenders, journalists, activists and others by the military.
The United States Embassy in Myanmar said on Monday it had received reports that a curfew had been imposed in the country's two biggest cities, Yangon and Mandalay, after a third day of big protests over last week's coup.
Reuters' Emma McCarthy. Happening now in Asia, South Korea's new foreign minister said Tuesday he was confident about coordinating North Korea policy with the United States despite earlier signs of differences. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thanks for being with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Australia has insisted it expects basic standards of justice after China formally arrested the Australian journalist Cheng Li on suspicion of illegally supplying state secrets overseas. Phil Mercer has the story from Sydney.
Cheng Li, a high-profile television presenter for the Chinese government's English language network CGTN, was detained last August. The Australian citizen has been held in custody in Beijing without charge or access to a lawyer for 6 months. Her formal arrest suggests that Chinese investigators are preparing to prosecute her on suspicion of illegally leaking state secrets. Australia has insisted it expects basic standards of justice and for Ms. Cheng to be treated humanely. Former Australian Foreign Minister Alexander Downer said her arrest appeared to be retaliation by China against Australia, rather than simply a case involving credible allegations. Relations between Canberra and Beijing have deteriorated in recent years because of various political disputes. China has denied allegations of cyber espionage and interfering in Australia's domestic affairs. Canberra's call last year for a global inquiry into the origins of COVID-19, which was first detected in the Chinese city of Wuhan, was interpreted in Beijing as stern criticism of its handling of the pandemic. In 2020, an Australian writer, Yung Hen Jung, was charged with espionage by Chinese authorities after being held in detention for well over a year. Australian Foreign Minister Maurice Payne says her government is doing what it can to free its citizens held in China.
The most important thing that we can do is to support those citizens, both Dr. Yung and Ms. Chung. We will raise concerns where we have them with China and provide every level of consular support in these very difficult circumstances.
Bilateral diplomatic tensions have led to sweeping economic sanctions. China has imposed various restrictions and tariffs on a range of Australian farming goods, including barley, beef and wine, as well as coal. Australia has relied on China, its biggest trading partner, for its recent prosperity. Lucrative iron ore exports to China, a key ingredient in steelmaking, have so far avoided the trade war, but analysts believe geopolitical hostilities show no immediate sign of easing. Chung Lei was born in China, but moved with her parents to Brisbane when she was 9 years old. Her family has called on China to show compassion and allow her to return home to Melbourne to see her two young children. The precise details of the allegations against her have not been divulged by Chinese officials. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. The International Energy Agency says the share of solar energy in India's power generation could equal coal-fired output by 2040, driven by falling renewable tariffs and a government push to increase green energy use. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. The Hong Kong government has made an unexpected U-turn to reverse its initial decision on this year's Lunar New Year flower markets. The Lunar New Year Fair, known as Flower Market in Cantonese, is an annual event which brings together thousands of florists, but the event was close to not happening this year. In early January, the Hong Kong government originally banned traditional flower markets to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus. Fortunately, with anti-COVID restrictions in place, the flower market venues are able to run at half capacity with business hours shortened and closures for lunch and dinner breaks to allow cleaning and disinfection. Business analyst Franique Loon explains the importance of allowing this year's flower market to run.
People are really tired of this enforced lockdown, and people want to get on with the normal lives. If you close the flower market, you really take away the livelihood of the flower farmers and the flower sellers, especially that they make maybe 50% of the profit during this season.
Pinky Chan, a customer at this year's flower market, says she enjoys purchasing flowers, especially during this time of year.
The Chinese feel happier if our homes are filled with red and green during the Lunar New Year. Because of the pandemic, we are all not very happy.
15 Lunar New Year flower fairs are currently taking place across Hong Kong through February 11th. Singapore has moved a step closer to a driverless public transport network with the launch of a new trial of self-driving buses. The autonomous bus trial is operating for 3 months to collect data to assess the viability of the on-demand service, as well as passenger safety and service reliability and efficiency. Passengers can book a bus ride in off-peak hours for 20 cents in Singapore dollars or 15 cents U.S. dollars through an app. The shuttle takes passengers between a subway station and stops around Singapore Science Park, a high-tech business hub. Ko Jingqian, a student who was a passenger on one of the autonomous buses, felt right at home using the service.
Honestly, it felt like just any other bus. Yeah, that it wasn't as if it was jerky or the bus wasn't driving very fast, turned the corners very smoothly. Yeah, it was just another bus, right?
There are two versions of the autonomous vehicles, a minibus that can hold 10 passengers and a larger scale version that has a capacity of 26. The Alliance for Action has been working with trade unions to create training for bus captains who would then be able to take on new roles such as managing commuter experience and the autonomous bus management system. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman. Happening in Asia, Hong Kongers with dual nationality are not entitled to foreign consular assistance, the city's leader said Tuesday, confirming warnings by Western diplomats that authorities have begun strictly enforcing Chinese nationality regulations in the financial hub. Stay with us for the latest news from and about Asia at voanews.com and all of our digital platforms. Hong Kong's top court denied bail Tuesday to media tycoon and Beijing critic Jimmy Lai, the most high-profile person to be charged under the city's national security law. More from Reuters' Brian Wood.
Hong Kong media tycoon Jimmy Lai was denied bail by the city's top court on Tuesday. He's a prominent critic of Beijing and is the most high-profile person to be charged under Hong Kong's national security law. Lai was detained in early December, then released on bail for about a week, before he was brought back into custody for another hearing at the end of last year. Beijing imposed the sweeping national security law last summer to punish anything China considers subversive with up to life in prison. Critics say it is aimed at crushing dissent and it erodes freedoms in the semi-autonomous Chinese-ruled city. Its supporters say it restores stability after months of unrest during the city's anti-government protests in 2019. When Lai was arrested under the law last year, nearly 200 police officers raided the newsroom of his Apple Daily newspaper. Prosecutors say Lai illegally requested foreign intervention in statements he made last summer. The tycoon has been a frequent visitor to Washington, D.C., meeting with the likes of former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to rally support for Hong Kong democracy.
That was Brian Wood reporting. Hundreds of thousands of Hong Kongers are expected to move to Britain in the coming years, where they're eligible to apply for British citizenship. Many of the thousands of newly arrived are now organizing initiatives to support others planning their move to Britain. Martha Vanderwolf reports from London.
While China was preparing the implementation of the national security law in Hong Kong in the summer of 2020, Jennifer was planning to relocate her family to Britain. Like many others, she participated in the 2019 pro-democracy and anti-government demonstrations. But the law passed last summer has Jennifer and others worried their civil liberties could be undermined. The national security law would prevent and punish what it calls acts of secession, subversion, or terrorism activities that threaten national security. The law would also allow Chinese national security organizations to set up agencies in Hong Kong. Critics say it effectively curtails protest and freedom of speech. China says it is needed to restore order and stability. Jennifer, who prefers not to use her real name, spent months online preparing to move her family.
When I came, I was quite well prepared because I could have everything for me settled by myself through a lot of hard work in Hong Kong. So I did a lot of online research and approaching different organizations and departments in the UK to arrange my places to live and arrange school for my child and arrange my account and all that. Most of the families, they come here for the children's future.
Despite never having lived in Britain before, she holds a British national overseas passport. Her family is eligible to apply for a new visa that offers a path to British residency and citizenship. The British government estimates nearly 3 million people are eligible, along with about 2.3 million dependents. Applications open January 31. So far, 7,000 people with a BNO passport have arrived from Hong Kong since July 2020. Jennifer now shares her knowledge about the moving process with other Hong Kongers through volunteer organizations. In recent months, several organizations were established in Britain to provide support to people arriving from Hong Kong and to those planning their move. Simon Cheng is the co-founder and chairman of one such support group, Hong Kongers in Britain. The volunteer-run organization hopes to fill information gaps and smooth the process for the 300,000 Hong Kongers believed to resettle in Britain over the next few years. Cheng says that while there are a lot of questions about the practicality of relocating, such as finding employment and schools, there are deeper concerns regarding China's ability to retaliate, even in Britain.
About 1 month ago, we did the policy study to identify their needs and their concern. The security would be the area of the concern. They were a little bit worried that if they come here, whether they've been harassed, the Chinese authority would be very upset about it. We're not sure yet about, in the future, the potential retaliation.
There are dozens of YouTube channels, Facebook groups, and other online platforms where relocated Hong Kongers are sharing information about the visa application and the resettling process. Neil Jameson of UK Welcomes Refugees, an umbrella group helping people enter British society, says providing the right support and information to BNO holders will test British institutions.
The problem would be is that landlords, the National Health Service, the police, and then they will suddenly see these papers they haven't seen before, which is BNO passports. But the vast number of people who would be coming legitimately do need to be welcomed, do need ideally to have a trusted group to go to in the places they choose to settle.
Britain announced the updated British National Overseas Passport Visa Scheme after the ongoing crackdown on pro-democracy activists by Chinese authorities in Hong Kong. The Chinese government announced it would stop recognizing the BNO as a valid travel document from the moment the BNO application scheme opened to Hong Kong residents. Marta van der Wolf for VOA News, London.
We continue on VOA Asia, when a 12-year-old boy shares an idea with his father, who happens to be a computer scientist who loves puzzles. The result is a 3D GameCube that users can play physically and virtually. More from VOA's Elizabeth Lee.
What happens when you marry a Rubik's Cube with video games? The result is this. 16-year-old inventor and Russian immigrant Sava Osipov thought of this idea when he was 12.
I told my dad about this idea of a Rubik's Cube with screens that could play video games on it.
Sava's dad, Ilya Osipov, happens to be a computer scientist. Their business eventually grew into a global team of software and hardware experts working together to develop the WoW Cube.
I like this work. It's very creative. You're speaking about games, characters.
Ta-da!
The main difference from all that exists on the market now is that the entire surface of the device, up and down size, is a screen. So you operate with the cube the same way like you operate with the Rubik's Cube, by twisting it, tilting or shaking. But you see that you play in both virtual and physical world in the same time.
Games specifically designed for this three-dimensional device can be downloaded from an app, then run without the internet. These magnetic balls allow each mini cube to stick together and communicate with each other.
If I disassemble it, you see, it's still working. Those are 8 independent computers, and the operation system supports the integrity of all of them.
It's very different from anything I've ever, you know, tried. I see it as kind of like a mix of a computer and a toy.
It's a cube that reimagines video gameplay by creating a three-dimensional tactile experience. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. You can follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia and find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. And thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Emmy Heimel, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Please stay safe and enjoy the day.